This is a special edition of the Dale Carter's America podcast. I am Dale, and David Copeland is across from me. David is the state director, the Kansas state director, for the Convention of States. Welcome to our podcast.
Well, thank you, Dale.
I got to tell you, when I started the podcast, the first episode was on the day Joe Biden was inaugurated. I felt like if we were going to do it, that would be the day to start it. And the basis for the podcast is the Constitution in one hand, the news of the day in the other hand, and somewhere in the middle of all of it, common sense, which seems to have been lost in our country. And we spent a lot of time breaking down the Constitution when we first started the podcast. And we get to Article 5, and it was a very interesting episode because Article 5 is how the Constitution is amended, as you know. And all of the amendments to the Constitution so far have come through Congress, correct?
Correct.
And your organization wants to do it the other way. Can you explain how you want to amend the Constitution?
Well, Dale, as you know, the second half of Article 5 provides an alternate method of proposing amendments. And it makes a lot of sense because the states created the federal government. And the states decided that they needed a way to propose amendments that the federal government wouldn't, that the Congress would not. And it came back to George Mason, second to the last day of the Constitutional Convention. He came into the convention and said, gentlemen, this thing's ready to go, except we have one problem. We're assuming that every Congress is going to think like us. Every Congress in the future will just fought a revolutionary war, and the taste of liberty will be on their lips. Well, we may not have that in the future. And he was right. And we've gotten to a point now, we probably reached it 50 years ago, if not 100 years ago, where that taste of liberty has faded away. And so people decided comfort was more important than liberty. And piece by piece, day by day, year by year, we saw more liberty eroded and comfort replaced by comfort, presumed comfort. And so now Article 5, the second part of Article 5, is an area we want to exercise. It's been dormant. Although there have been 400 applications made to Congress since the inception, where states wanted to propose amendments. In fact, there was a movement just prior to the Civil War to try to avert the Civil War, to make amendments to the Constitution, really, in that case, to allow the Southern states to have slavery as long as they could and the other states not. That didn't work. The war broke out. They never had that. They never used Article 5 to avoid the Civil War. Well, now we're moving towards a point in our history where we are fighting a civil war.
Feels that way.
It feels that way.
It does. The country is $30 trillion in debt.
Correct.
A number that is just skyrocketing every day. And to your point about how the framers said, well, there may not be a Congress like us in the future, we say on our podcast that Democrats are driving toward the cliff at light speed and Republicans are driving toward the cliff at the speed limit. The destination is the same. And that's why I'm fascinated by this. And this is not some weird, whacked out thing. There's been a lot of work done on this. Just so that everyone knows, you need 34 states to agree, both bodies of the House and the Senate, right?
Correct.
To call this convention. And then you need 38 states to ratify any amendments. Tell me where you are. Where's the progress on this thing right now?
This year, 4 states have passed. We were up to 19. And right now,
including Missouri.
And Missouri was one, yes. In fact, Missouri put a sunset clause on their call, and last year they took it off. So they're indefinite now. So this year we had Nebraska pull a miracle. They pulled a rabbit out of their hat, and they passed it. West Virginia, Wisconsin, and most recently South Carolina.
The map that you have shows 19 in green. That includes Missouri, includes my home state of Indiana. You've got 6 where it is passed in one chamber, but it needs to go to the other chamber. And then 14 with active legislation. Now, some of those are interesting. Active legislation in New York, Massachusetts, Vermont, Hawaii, which I would say are very liberal, would not be on the same page with us, but there's active legislation there.
Well, it was at the time of that map. Right now, there are only a handful of states that are active. North Carolina is still there. Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Michigan are states that have year-round legislatures. And so Pennsylvania is active and Ohio is active. In fact, right now, the race is between North Carolina and Ohio to see who's going to be number 20.
Yeah. You know, what I found interesting was there's no activity, at least on your map, in Montana and Idaho.
Right.
I would think those are two states who would be on board on day one on something like this.
Well, the opponents to convention of states come from, I don't want to say the far right, but I'll say the John Birch Society.
Okay.
All right. They love the Constitution, but they're scared to death of what they call the runaway convention.
Now, I want to ask you about that. Okay, let's go to your dream scenario, okay? You've got 34 states on board, and you're ready to call this convention. What's that look like?
Well, it would be a meeting of legislators that come together. They have them every year. The Democrats will have their legislative councils. Conservatives have ALEC conference every year. This would be a meeting of legislators. Each state would send their delegation to this meeting. I would imagine it would have a lot more heightened notoriety. There would be more publicity and security. But they would have that mission. They would have the applications would discuss the three areas, the fiscal restraint, term limits, and the scope and jurisdiction of the federal government. So the states would come together. They would elect a chairman, just like they elected George Washington in 1787. They would elect a chairman. The chairman would call them into order. They would probably break up into committees, and they would go off and discuss fiscal restraint in one committee. Another committee would discuss term limits. And you might have several committees talking about scope and jurisdiction of the federal government.
Yeah.
And hopefully every state would send serious legislators, people who are familiar with the process and familiar with the law, and they would come together. And they would also be familiar with government overreach. They would be familiar with economics. They would be familiar with politics in terms of how do we sell term limits to this country? Because as you said, it takes 38 states to get to ratify. So it can't be something that is totally right any more than they could have a convention and come away with something that's totally left.
Yeah.
To sell it to 38 states, you're going to have to be palatable to a lot of people.
Well, the issue, I think, and I had Chris Matthews on my show years ago. He was pimping a book, and he and I could not be further in disagreement about most issues. He's very liberal. I'm very conservative. But what I told him was, this government's a mess. I mean, we need to, if this thing were a computer, we would hit Control-Alt-Delete and reboot the thing and start over. And, you know, instead of all the politics that are going on out there, we would say, here's our federal government, here's what it should do, and here's how we're going to pay for it. And to your point on term limits, I mean, you know, the framers never saw coming what we have today. They never saw a politician like Joe Biden who would be in Washington, D.C. most of his life and never have a job outside of Washington, D.C. They would be people who would leave their farm, leave their business, come to the federal capital and do their duty to their country and then go back home.
Exactly.
How do we get back there? I guess this is the roadmap for how we get back there, because they're never going to do this.
They'll never do this on their own.
Yeah. Well, that's why we're talking to David Copeland, and we're talking about the Convention of States. You can read all about it at conventionofstates.com. Now, let me ask you this, the out-of-control convention. You mentioned this. Okay, there are a lot of folks out there. The Second Amendment is under assault like it has never been under assault, and what happens if you get a bunch of liberals in there and they say, you know, the president has said no amendment's absolute, Second Amendment's not absolute. What if they want to yank the Second?
Well, let them try. Why haven't they done it? Because they can't pass it. They know they can't pass it. And the same reason that if we got into a convention, and this is not a plenary convention where everything's open. We're talking about three subjects. The Second Amendment, reducing rights, inalienable rights, not on the agenda.
All right. Well, you gave me a pocket guide to Article 5, the Convention of States, and you gave Kurt one, too. So we have two copies here in the building. Folks who are interested in this, and I would think there would be a lot who follow our podcast, how can they get this booklet, and what can they do to get on board?
If you go to conventionofstates.com and sign the petition, you can download a free copy of that.
All right. Well, I haven't signed the petition yet, but I'm going to as soon as we wrap this up. I wish you the best of luck, and whatever we can do at Dale Carter's America, you just let me know.
Well, the one thing I want to put out here is all politics is local, and the state legislatures have the ability, they have the power embedded in the Constitution. Specifically, they have the power to call this convention. So as we go to the polls for the primary in Kansas on August 2nd, the general election November, there are going to be candidates there that oppose and support Convention of States. I would call on all voters in Kansas and Missouri to do your homework and support those candidates that will defend your liberty, because that's the front line right here at this election. We're not doing this with pitchforks and torches. We're doing this at the ballot box. We're doing it in Topeka the way they did it in Jeff City.
Yep. And you're using the Constitution to get it done.
Absolutely.
All right. So Missouri's on board with no sunset. We got to work on Kansas. That's your territory.
That's my territory. Correct.
You got a lot of work ahead of you.
Well,
all right.
We've got a lot of good conservatives, a lot of good constitutional people in Kansas. I got a great team, a lot of volunteers. We've got almost 40,000 people who have signed the petition and more every day. We're knocking on doors. I think it's going
to
happen.
All right. Best of luck to you. Come back and give us a progress report.
All right. Thank you, Dale.
You bet.